Spirit come. Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how to be one with you. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, rest in this place. Teach us how to be one with you.
Jesus, we worship your name, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. While you're on your feet, going to give the opportunity to greet one another. One of the ushers would be at the back with the offering plate. You can go by and worship with your wallet as you go by one another and shake their hand. Greet them, telling you're happy to see them here in the house of the Lord on this Wednesday night as we sing some more.
Of our home, one day we will stand before you, Lord. Our all together beautiful reward. We will give you glory, bring you honor, King above all kings. You deserve our everything. We will lift our voices with your praises. Jesus, you are our King. Now we walk in darkness, now we see in part. Right now we're warmed by the burning flames of the fire in our hearts. We promise you will lead us to your throne. We will worship you and you alone. And we will give you glory, bring you honor, King above all kings. You deserve our everything. We will lift our voices with your praises. Jesus, you are our King.
Now we walk in darkness,
now we see in part. Right now we're warmed by the burning flames of the fire in our hearts. We promise you will lead us to your throne. We will worship you and you alone. And we will give you glory, bring you honor, King above all kings. You deserve our everything. We will lift our voices with your praises. Jesus, you are our King.
We will give you glory.
We will give you glory. We will give you glory, glory. We will give you glory.
We will give you glory.
We will give you glory,
glory.
We will give you glory, bring you honor, King above all kings. You deserve our everything. We will lift our voices with your praises. Jesus, you are our King. We will give you glory, glory. We will give you glory, we will give you glory. We will give you glory, glory. You glory, bring you honor, King above all kings. You deserve our everything. We will lift our voices with your praises. Jesus, you are. Jesus, you are. Jesus, you are our King.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Hopefully you were here early enough to see some of the announcements scrolling on the screen behind, and so you're aware of what's up and coming. Youth, you may retire and go to your place upstairs. Hopefully you're aware of what's happening around here. Here in the next few weeks, we try to make you aware of this via the announcements that we put on the screen, also via Breeze, the calendar therein, letting you know what is happening, what's going on. This coming Saturday here at the church, there is a baby sprinkle for Brother Jay and Sister Darlene's new grandson who is on the way. And so if you would like to be a part of that, it's open. There's no expectation, but it's open if you want to come be a part of that. And so they just want to make it available to you to be a part of that and to help them celebrate and be a part of a baby sprinkle. So that's happening on Saturday. Regularly scheduled services on Sunday, 10 a.m., our Sunday school, and then at 11 o'clock, our worship evangelistic service. And then Sunday night at 6 o'clock, we are continuing in our Understanding the End Time study, and it is Lesson 7, The Holy Roman Empire Reborn. So if you want to find out how all that fits and how that happens and where it is biblically, well, then you need to be here on Sunday night for Understanding the End Time. Also, one thing that we have done on Sunday night is we're placing a box down there. Obviously, and I want to say thank you to all those that help us by bringing some light refreshments, some snacks. It's almost like we have a mini potluck every Sunday night when we have it. And so we thank you for that. I know a lot of people are putting a lot of time and effort into that. But we're putting a donation box down there so that you can donate, and all of the proceeds that are put in the donation box are going to the building fund or the building improvement fund of the church. We're in the process of getting estimates for replacing the carpet here in the sanctuary and through the back and up the steps. And so there's a lot that we have to do, and one of those things we have to do is we have to raise the funds in order to be able to do that. And a lot of the work, the physical labor, myself and other men in the church were willing and able to do so, but they don't give the carpet away, and so we do have to pay for that, and we do want it professionally installed, so that's a part of it as well. If you would like to donate, we are technologically advanced. Thank you to Brother Kellum, who helps us, because I am technologically, how do you say that, inept. Or just I'm not very technologically inclined. I struggle with technology every now and then. He does not. He's very good with technology. And so there are flyers at the back, and they simply offer you a way. You can donate by text to the building fund via Breeze. If you don't know this, you can pay your tithes offering via Breeze. Breeze is our church management software platform. And you can go online if you do not yet have an account or you want to know how to do that. There is a flyer back on the bulletin board which tells you how you can get involved and how you can sign up and be a part of that. And there's also a QR code right there. You can scan it if you really like technology and that sort of stuff. You can scan the code and it'll tell you what to do. So all that wonderful fun stuff and those flyers are at the back. Also coming up on is actually 2 weeks from last night is our Thanksgiving service. And that is we take the midweek service during the week of Thanksgiving. We move it back one night from Wednesday to Tuesday. We realize a lot of people are traveling and they're preparing for the holidays and Thanksgiving. So we move it back one night. So on Tuesday night of the week of Thanksgiving, we will have our midweek service. And we're going to have a special Thanksgiving service. And what I mean by that is it's special in a couple of ways. One of the ways it is special is a time where we take communion here as a congregation. And during that communion, we are giving thanks. And one of the ways that we give thanks and allow you to give thanks in a public setting is that there are cards at the back on the table, and it says, "This Thanksgiving I am thankful for." And then there's multiple lines for you to write what you are thankful for. And then you can either sign your name. It says submitted by, and there's a blank. You can put your name there. or you can circle anonymously submitted where nobody knows who submitted it. You wrote it down. And then what we do during that Thanksgiving service is that those things are displayed on the screen behind us. So as we're giving thanks, we are seeing not only what we, but what others in the congregation are thankful for. And it just adds another element, and we have such a good time together in that service. So those cards are available for you to fill out, place in the basket, and then we will start putting them in to the PowerPoint presentation for that special Thanksgiving service. So all of that is on the calendar letting you know. And then a week from Saturday, I know I'm taking some time, but you just have to bear with me. A week from Saturday, we are having what we call fundraising prep. And what this is that we're prepping for doing some fundraising via the Peanut Brittle. I just totally blanked on that. I was like, I know what it is. I just can't think of the word. Peanut Brittle and Caramel Corn. And so this is what I would ask as pastor. If we could get four families, and all we need would be like four families just to donate $50, we can buy all the supplies that we need for this first round of fundraising. That way, everything that we sell is profit. And this is one of those things that we're looking to do. We're not fishing in this pond, so to speak. Obviously, the donations will help us, and that's why we're coming to you for the donations. But we want to sell these products outside the walls of this church, maybe places of employment, different other areas, and do that fundraising where we're not just fishing in this pond. I know how that is, and you know me. I'm not one that gets up all the time and asks for money. That's just not my mode of operation. But this is another way that we can help, not only financially, but we can offer our support and say, hey, I'll be here to help prep, to help get things together, learn how to make the peanut brittle, learn how to make the caramel corn. So that it can be sold. This is a great time of year for it, leading up into the holidays. And so if you have questions concerning that, you can see Brother and Sister Grimm. They are, once again, they're in charge of our fundraising, and they are going putting this all together. And so if you can help out in any way, maybe some of you that have been around a while, you know how to, you know, the special little spice that goes in, the peanut brittle. I made peanut brittle a lot as a kid, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to get together and just interact and have a good time. But you do get burnt occasionally, so no, I'm kidding. But we have a good time, and so we want you to come and be a part of that as well. Did I miss anything? There's giggles and all that other stuff, so I'm making sure I'm good. Brother? Yes? We have, at this point, we have like six that are riding on the van, but have, I think, nine total. There's some going from other locations. So thank you. Men's conference happening Friday night. The van is leaving here at the church at 5 o'clock. So if you want to be on board with the van going to the men's conference, please be here by 5 o'clock on Friday. We will go to the conference. We will go out to eat afterwards. We usually go to Denny's right down the road and have a good time of fellowship together, and then we come home that night. So what's so funny? Thank you. That will help. Brother Jay, she is committed that she's going to help you and make sure that you are here on time and you are ready to go. So, all righty. We're going to take some needs of the Lord in prayer. One of the needs that brought to my attention right before service, Pastor Mark Harris pastors in Pinckneyville, Illinois, pastors where Sister Day's mother attends. He's had a myriad of health problems, and once again, he's my understanding is rushed to the hospital with chest pains. You don't know exactly what he's experiencing and what's happening, but we certainly need to lift him up in prayer that God would minister unto him. Are there other needs in the house? Why don't you slip up your hand, Sister Darling? All right. Certainly. Continue to remember that situation, that need, Sister Christy. Yes, a housing situation, moving, trying to close on a home and vacate the premises where they're at and all that. Anybody that's done all that, you know, it's I've been there, done that, so very, very worthy request. Sis Kellen. All right, certainly. Is that seat in there, Sis D? Yes, continue to remember Brother Bill in prayer. All right, certainly. All right. Pray for Josh as well. So, anybody else? Why don't you stand? Before we go to prayer, I want to bring a very special need, and special in the sense that it is the need of a very special person, someone who is very special to this congregation. Some of you probably know, she may have already told you, but I She has given me permission. I've talked to her about the situation. Some time ago, Sister Pat Phillips went in. They discovered a mass. They have since done a biopsy. The results have come back. She has been diagnosed with cancer. Thankfully, it is stage one. They have caught it very early. They are very optimistic about being able to surgically remove the mass. And so she has some decisions to make concerning her medical treatment, how she's going to go through it, when she's going to have it done, to what level they're going to, you know, be invasive and that sort of stuff. So those of you who know Sister Phillips, she's a very private person, but I did get her permission. I said, you know, when you feel comfortable, and I've known it for a little bit of time, but she wanted to have more details before I made the announcement to the church. So we're certainly going to lift her up in prayer and be there for her during this time as she has decisions to make. And she's not looking for sympathy. She's looking for prayer. She's looking for faithful people to beseech the throne of God on her behalf. And we do know the great physician. We know the God who is able to heal and to help. And so we're going to go to him in prayer and believe in him to touch and do what needs to be done in her life. Can we pray right now? Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you. Oh, you're a healer and you're a help. God, you're a strength. God, we see your hand at work in lives, God, in situations that surround us, God. And we thank you that we can come to you, God, whether it be a cold or a minor sickness, Lord, or whether it be something, God, that has the potential to be terminal, Lord. We know that you're able to heal all manner of disease, and by your stripes, we are healed. And we come before you. We believe and trust in you, God, to work your perfect will in our lives and our heart, God, for those needs that were mentioned here tonight, God. Lord, we believe and trust in you, Lord. We bring, oh, God, Pastor Mark Harris before you in prayer right now. God, you're a healer. God, you're a help. You know him, God, his faithfulness to your cause and to your kingdom. Lord, I pray that you would send angels to minister to him right now, God, to raise him up, to restore him, God, in the precious name of Jesus. God, we believe, God, we bring our very own before you, Sister Phillips. God, we know that you're a help and you're a strength, God. We know already from conversations she has such a peace about it, God. She knows that your hand is upon her life, God. She trusts you, God. We thank you for her faithfulness, God. We ask you, Lord, that you would continue to work in her life, God, to move, God. Give her peace concerning the situations and decisions that she would make, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We honor you. We give you glory and praise for who you are and what you do. We honor you, Jesus. We love you. We thank you, God. You are so good. You are great and greatly to be praised. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Why don't you clap your hands unto the Lord? He's worthy of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm sure many of you are aware we are a few weeks out of Thanksgiving, and I like to do this. Sometimes I don't start as often as I should, but I like to take at least a week or two prior to Thanksgiving and our Thanksgiving service, and I like to teach and talk on the subject of being thankful. And I've entitled this mini-series, if you will, this week and next, A Guide for Giving Thanks. Guide for Giving Thanks. And the lesson, if you will, if you title the lesson, is Why Being Thankful is So Important. Why we as a people need to be thankful. And I'm not talking about just a saying of thanks or some kind of vain repetition of saying thank you, or I'm talking about actually being thankful. Why is it so important that we, not only in our conversation, but in all manner of living, that we are thankful. Thankful for who we are in God. Thankful for what he's done in our lives. And thankful for the things that God brings to us and in our lives. And yes, even thankful for the struggles. And thankful for the persecutions. And thankful for the things that on the surface it may seem like it's difficult to be thankful for. But how all these things and how in a not only in a scriptural sense, in a spiritual sense, but also in a social sense, how that being thankful is a good witness. Being thankful, having, as I often say, an attitude of gratitude about my life and my lifestyle and how I live, is a good witness in the world in which I live.
I don't walk around with a frown upon my face. I'm not a person that always sees the dark cloud, but I'm one who strives to see the silver lining. I am one who is constantly trying to find the good in stuff. I'm trying to find the positive. There's enough negative out there. There's enough detraction, if you will, from the things of God and the people of God. We need to do our best to be attractive. And I'm not talking about in the sense of our physical image. I'm talking about being attractive spiritually, being attractive in understanding that being a Christian is more than just saying I'm a Christian. It's living a Christian lifestyle. It's showing in my life and the way that I'm lived that I am thankful. I'm thankful that I'm a child of God. I'm thankful for the sacrifice that He has made for me. And in my life, I exemplify in my manner of living, in my lifestyle, in my behavior, in my conversation, in my interaction with other people, I am thankful. People can tell in interacting with me that I have an optimistic outlook. See, even in these times, yes, even in these times, because our hope is not here. We understand, we see the things that are happening around us, we understand what's going on in our world, but our focus is not necessarily on those things. Those things are there. Those things, in this world ye shall have trouble. We're going to have trouble. But what we need to be is people who are thankful even in the midst of trouble. And there's reasons why being thankful is so important. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. And I want to draw your attention to, it probably no surprise, focus verse found in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Just one passage of Scripture. It says in everything, everybody say everything. That means everything. Everything means everything. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If anybody ever asks you what the will of God is, you can tell them, and know in certain terms, biblically, you know exactly what the will of God is. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 tells me exactly what the will of God is. To do what? To give thanks in everything. That is the will. In the hard times, I learn to give thanks. In the lean times, I learn to give thanks. In the times that are good, I learn to give thanks. It's a lot easier sometimes when things are good. But here's what I hope to bring out, and I hope we understand in the course of this study. That one of the reasons why being thankful is so important is because of so much stuff that we do have. We are a blessed people. And if we're not careful and we're not filling our lives with thanksgiving and we're not giving thanks for what we have in our life, we got to be careful. Because where we have so much and God has blessed us so much, if we're not careful, that can become a curse. Can't. And we almost become entitled where we feel like that we have to have that stuff or life is not good. We have to have these luxuries and these wants need to be supplied when that's not scriptural. My God shall supply all of your needs. But because we live in a society, in a culture that we live in today, we have to be careful that we don't become ungrateful people. We need to learn to be thankful. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So let me ask the question, and here I want some audience participation. It's amazing how the tension rises when I say that. So let's just ask the question to begin with. Why is being thankful so important? Anybody want to interject? Why is it important that we are thankful? Gary. Okay. It recognizes his involvement. Certainly. Anybody else? Good point. This is Rose. He giveth and he taketh away. You recognize when you're thankful. But see, and here that's a good point. Because there's times that we think that we give thanks for what we get. And to some extent, that's true. But we also need to learn that sometimes we give thanks for what God takes away. Because he knows what we have need of. Right? He knows the intricate details of our heart and our life. He knows whether or not something is going to be good or bad for us. If I see Landon playing with a sharp knife, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to take it away from him. Why? Well, that's a good knife. Yeah, it's good and sharp. We can also leave him with a good cut. And so I, as a father who is responsible for the well-being of my child, I will take that away from him. It's the same way with God. There's sometimes we're playing with stuff and it's a sharp knife, figuratively speaking. And we don't know how to handle it. And if we're not careful, it'll cut us and it'll hurt us. And there's sometimes that God takes it away. Anybody else? Why is it so important? Yes, very good point. Is this Chrissy? I saw it. Very good point. Very good point. What about that? Yes. Yes. Very good point. Just doing. Yes, these are all good. Very good. And you'll see I'll touch on some of these, sister. Yes. So you'll see here in a few moments how that we're on the same page. But we need to be reminded again and again that being thankful is important. And it's not just important one time a year. It's not just important when we get together and feast on turkey and sit with family. Those things are well and good, and I love those things. And I'm not demeaning, I'm not detracting from those things. But Thanksgiving is a lifestyle. Thanksgiving is something that I try to focus on or should endeavor to focus on all the days of my life. I should be one that learned to give thanks in the good times and the bad times. I've got to condition myself to live a lifestyle of thanks because it is vitally important. It's important for me and my well-being and my outlook on life and whether or not I'm content or discontent. It's important for others who are looking and viewing me and my interaction and on the workplace and all those. Yes, it's very important that I am a thankful person, that I am, the very word thankful means full of thanks, that my life shows that I'm going through this, Pastor. I'm dealing with all this. Okay. Can you be thankful in that? Can you still look heavenward and understand God has a plan and still be thankful unto God? Well, you know, I'm going through this health crisis. Well, be thankful you ain't dead. Find the silver lining. Be thankful maybe that something happened to the awakening reality of things that need to change. Be thankful. Find ways to look at a situation and a circumstance and say, there's some way that I can gain strength from this. There's some way that I can allow God to use this for my good. And I'm going to be thankful in that. Because I know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, that are called according to his purpose. So even though I'm going through this situation, even though I'm going through this tragedy, even though I'm dealing with this situation, I am still going to be thankful. See, one of the first things we need to understand about being thankful is that we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for. We are very privileged people living very blessed lives. We are very privileged people living very blessed lives. I'm not saying this for effect, but this morning, I got the kids off to school and the wife left for work, and I was sitting in the recliner, had the fire going, and was getting ready for tonight, and I was going over, and I was just reflecting. I was looking at Scripture, and I was praying, and all of a sudden, this I just began to weep, and it wasn't a sad weep. It wasn't it was one of those weeps that I began to recognize, God, I have it so good. You are so good to me. I didn't have to wake up and worry whether or not I was going to have food to feed myself or my children. It was there. All I had to do was open the cupboard, and though it was marshmallow mateys, that's the generic Lucky Charms, in case you don't know. It's a lot cheaper in the bag, in the big bag. But I begin to think, God, I'm so thankful that you have blessed me, and I live in a beautiful home, and I have healthy kids. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what you've given me. I know this is you, God. I'm thankful. We have so very much to be thankful. We are a privileged people. There are numerous benefits and luxuries we enjoy every day. You realize that when you go to the sink, that clean water that you're letting run down the drain while you're brushing your teeth, I'm not here to try to put you on some guilt trip. What I'm trying to say is that we enjoy luxuries and benefits every day. There are people in other countries that don't have that luxury. There are people in other areas that have to walk for miles to get water. There are people that don't have running water or flushing toilets or things that you and I enjoy on a daily basis. Matter of fact, there's some of us that are not too far removed from ice boxes and outhouses and rotary phones and just hoping your loved one was okay when you were away from them for days. But we live with a lot of luxuries and a lot of benefits and a lot of things that the past generations did not have. And we have them. They're a part of our everyday living. And part of that problem is we've become so accustomed to them. They've become so much a part of our lifestyle that we don't stop and say thank you. We don't stop and consider that I have it much better. When I look over my life, I look at my parents who were middle class, but I have it better than my parents had it at my age. I do. And I need to be grateful for that. I need to be thankful unto God for that. My dad, when he first started pastoring, you know what he did to supplement his income? He picked oranges. He would get up the wee hours of the morning. He'd go out and he'd grab a wooden ladder and he'd lay it up against an orange tree and he'd pick oranges for hours. And they got paid by the sack. He'd come home and he'd be dirty and bloody and stuck with all the thorns. That's what he did to supplement his income as a pastor. I'm thankful that God, I'm not above picking oranges. Please understand that. But I also need to understand and be humble enough to say, thank you, God. Thank you that I have it as good as I have it. I don't want to be someone who was ungrateful about the provision that you have given and provided for me. Here's a shocking statistic for you. Approximately 70% of the world's population live on less than $10 per day. Did you know that? 70% of the world's population live on less than $10 a day. Now, do that math in your head. There's 365 days a year. You know what that is annually? 3,650. All you got to do is add a zero. 3,650 annual salary. I know. I full well know. There are people on the sound of my voice. You make more than that in a month. I'm not. No, don't tighten up on me. I'm not going to talk about giving. Talking about being thankful that while 70% of the world's population live on an annual salary of what I make sometimes in a couple weeks, maybe a month. So I'm living on 12 times for the most part, many of us, 12 times at a minimum what 70% of the world's population is living. We take it for granted. Take it for granted. We are privileged people. We are blessed. Our culture has conditioned us to expect what others deem exceptional. Say that again. Our culture, our Western culture, has conditioned us. Now, I'm sorry, I'm going to mess with a little prima donna understanding. But our Western culture has conditioned us to expect what other cultures deem exceptional. Somebody give me an example. Running water. That was mine earlier. I can't use that one. Air conditioning. What a beautiful example. A luxury that we have. A luxury that sometimes we take it for granted. We take it for granted. We come inside and the heat's on or the air's on and it's a nice, comfortable environment. What about? Generic cereal. What about this? What about something as simple as we expect that every time we sit down to eat, we're going to be full when we're done? We live in a culture that's conditioned us to expect it. While there are myriad of people that if they get a meal, there's no expectation that that meal will fill them. Sometimes it's just enough to survive on. But because we live in this culture, I know this is not popular, but what I'm trying to get us to understand is that we have so much to be thankful for, and we've got to be careful that our culture doesn't condition us to just expect these things. Because if they just become expectations, where I just expect that every time I sit down to have a meal, I'm going to be full. Guess what? That's why, and I'm preaching to myself, I need to learn to take more time when I pray before my meal to truly be thankful. That I'm going to be, God help me. Help me to truly be thankful. Because what I'm coming to expect in my daily living, other people would see that as exceptional. Wow. You mean you get to sleep in your own bed at night? Yep. You mean you don't have to look up through holes in the roof and wonder what the weather's going to be like. Wonder if you're going to have to shiver all night or whether... No, I don't. I need to be grateful for that. I need to understand it. And see, that's the thing where we got to be careful, because sometimes we become so blessed that it becomes a curse. Because we don't consider it and we don't understand that I should be thankful for this. And it shouldn't be an expectation in my life. I should look at it as something exceptional that God has provided unto me. And I should lay my head down on a pillow at night with gratitude in my life. Thank you. Thank you that I'm going to be able to wake up and go about my day. And I'm going to have enough clothes to keep me warm. Because there are some people not too many miles away who will go to bed tonight cold. And I won't. I'll be able to wrap the comfort around me and I'll be able to sleep sound. God, help me. Help me not become so full of myself that I forget you. Yes. And even so much so in our North American culture, as we've seen generation to generation, as I stated earlier, the generation now looks back at the previous generation, and if we're not careful, we would say, well, they had it bad. And no, in comparison to the rest of the world, they had it very good. And we have it even better. And so we should be thankful for that. We often take so much for granted. What past generation considered luxury, present generations consider part of everyday living. I distinctly remember sitting around with my great uncles and them talking about the pranks that they would play concerning the outhouses. just going to let that linger there for a little bit. I just think I remember them talking about the Iceman coming around with the dry ice to put in the ice box so he keeps stuff cold. And how they would hang meat and they would smoke meat to preserve it and to keep it. And now I keep it in the meat tray for a couple weeks, and if it smells a little bad, it goes in the trash. I'll move on. Being thankful is essential to keep us from taking things for granted and thereby becoming entitled. Where I just expected. I'm entitled. And see, that's a problem. We are raising generations who are becoming entitled. That the expectation is that I have that which other societies would consider exceptional. But now that's my expectation. I expect that you're going to provide that for me. I'm not going to go political, but if we're not careful as a society, and that's why we have got to run counterculture, we have got to understand and be thankful for the things that have been provided and the life that we live. Because if we're not thankful, we become ungrateful. And then we have this entitlement mentality that I'm entitled to that. And nobody likes a spoiled brat. You want to be a turnoff to somebody and start acting like you're entitled to certain things and certain amenities. Start giving off the air impression that you deserve it based upon who you are and what status you have. You want to start alienating yourself from people? Start having that air about you. Nobody likes a spoiled brat. And I'd be honest, kids aren't in here, so I can say this. There are some times my kids will complain. And I'll sing the Mickey Mouse song, but I'll sing it a little different. I'll say, S-P-O-I-L-E-D-B-R-A-T. You're a spoiled brat. Every time we walk in Target, they want to go to the toy section thinking they're going to get a toy. No, you don't get a toy every time we go to the store. I got a toy when I was a kid. It was called Christmas and birthday. That's when I got a toy. And some didn't even get that. I'm going to move on. I had too much fun. Thankfulness causes us to appreciate what we have. It causes us, when we start reflecting, and even tonight as we've talked about some of these things, it happened to me, so I know it's happening to you. You thought, man, I haven't been thankful for that in a while. I've got that, and And hopefully, maybe when you go home tonight and you crawl in that warm bed, you'll say, thank you, God. It causes us to appreciate what we do have. And when we're busy appreciating what we do have, then we're not filling our time focusing on what we don't have. The more full of thanks we are, the less we complain about the deficiencies. The less we look around at what other people have that we don't have. The less we feel like we need to keep up with the Joneses, we're just thankful that God has provided unto us. And we're thankful and we appreciate what he's done in our lives. And we thank him. And so we fill our lives with thanks, so we're not trying to fill our lives with other things. And we're not trying to get I got this void. You want to tell you how you fill a void in your life? Start being thankful for what you already have. Going out and buying the latest and greatest, it's not going to fill that void in your life. What's going to fill that void in your life is when you appreciate what you do have. When you look at the things around you and say, thank you, God, that I have these things. Thank you that you have provided unto me. If we would fill our lives with more thanks concerning our needs, there would be less room for trying to fulfill our wants. And that's huge. These are reasons why being thankful is so important. Because it causes me to focus on how God has supplied all of my needs, how he has provided for me, how never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God has always provided for me. And while I'm being a spoiled brat about these things that I want that I'm not getting, I should be over in the corner with my head bowed, thanking God for what I do have and the needs he's provided. And if I'd spend more time in the corner thanking him for what he's already provided, I'd spend a lot less time focusing on what I don't have. And I'd feel a lot more fulfilled in my life. And I wouldn't focus on the things I don't have and the deficiencies or perceived deficiencies that I think exist. Why the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. Because if I can learn to give thanks even in the lean times, if I can learn to give thanks even when I don't have extra money at the end of the month, if I can learn to give thanks even when I go to the cupboard and the cupboard's bare, but I can think about last month when it was full and know that God's going to fill it again some way, somehow. If in everything I can give thanks, for this is the will of God for you concerning Christ Jesus. Thankfulness takes the focus off of a problem and places it on the provider. Thankful God. I'm thankful even though I don't have anything right now or I don't have excess right now. I'm thankful. I look back over my life and I realize there are times where I did have excess. And I'm thankful, God. I'm thankful that you have always provided. And I know I can look back in the past, like you said, Brother Kellerman. I can look back on the past and be thankful. And it gives me the faith to believe that he's going to provide for the future. And I can look at where I am and say, well, I'm not always going to be here because God always turns it around for me. And God always makes a way for me. And so I can look back on the past and I can be thankful and say, Lord, I know you're going to provide. I'm not going to focus on the problem. I'm going to focus on you as the provider. And one of the ways I'm going to do that is be thankful. And it's amazing how that when you do that, all of a sudden that thing that seems so big and so monumental and that problem that seems so insurmountable, all of a sudden, wait a second, it's not so big. It's not so bad. Thankfulness in a struggle will provide strength to press on and persevere. God, I don't know why I'm going through this. I don't know why I'm dealing with this situation right now, but I'm thankful because I know that you would not let it happen to me if it were not for my good. And Lord, so I'm thankful that I'm going to come out of this. You've tried me in the furnace of affliction. When I come forth, I shall come forth as gold. And so I'm thankful for what I know is going to be the outcome because you've done it again and again and again, and you'll do it again now. I just believe in you. I trust in you. I'm thankful for all the other times you brought me through. I'm thankful for all the struggles because they made me stronger. And I'm thankful now for this struggle because I know on the other side, I'm going to be stronger. And it's going to make me where I'm strong enough to face the next struggle and go through the next trial. Thankfulness causes us to focus on the positive, thus negating the effect of the negative. Now I'm focusing on the positive. All of a sudden, I was so down and I was so depressed and I was so wondering. And then I started becoming thankful. At first, man, I was in the mullet grubs, and I was picking, low cotton, as they say, and I was just going through it. But then I began to be thankful. I began to reflect on all the times where God brought me through, and I began to reflect on all the times where God has provided. And all of a sudden, I wasn't feeling as down as I was when I first came, and I wasn't. And all of a sudden, I'm feeling a lot better. And now it's just, the scenario is not as bleak as I thought it was. And now it's looking a lot better. And now, by the time we're done being thankful, we look back and say, I don't even know why I was worried about it at all. He's always provided. He's always worked it out. Hasn't always been the way I wanted it to be, but he's always met my needs. He's always supplied for me. He's always been faithful. Why am I getting all worried? And why am I having all this anxiety and this stress? And I'm getting all twerked and I'm getting all... Why? It takes the power out of the negative. Because now I'm choosing to focus on the positive. I'm not letting the enemy have an advantage over me. I'm not allowing him to make me all depressed where I lash out at other people and I become angry and I become frustrated. And then I start being a bad witness. Thankfulness is a great witness. Look at this. Philippians 2, 14 and 15. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Well, wouldn't that be nice if we could do that? But that would be a great goal. And if I'd live life more thankful, there'd be a lot less murmurings and disputings. if in everything I gave thanks, it would be hard to find things to murmur about and dispute about. That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Thankfulness gives me the opportunity to shine. In the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, in the midst of a world that focuses on the negative, I can shine. I can smile in the midst of my struggle. I can gain power in the midst of the problem. I can go through the circumstance with a smile on my face. Why? Because I know in whom I have believed. And I know that He's able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. And I know that the outcome, this situation, this circumstance, is going to be for my good and my benefit. And I'm thankful. And that's going to be a witness to the world around about me. Thankfulness will change your lifestyle. Thankfulness sees each day as another opportunity to live gratuitously, thanking God for another chance to be changed and thereby change others. His mercies are new every morning. Every day is another opportunity. Lord, I thank you for this day. When you get up in the morning, your feet hit the floor, maybe even before you roll out of bed, you need to say, thank you, Jesus, that I opened my eyes this morning. Thank you that I have another day. I have another opportunity to show love. I have another opportunity to be changed by you so that I change other people. I may have failed yesterday, but I'm thankful for today because now I might can succeed. I might can make a difference, and I'll just keep pushing on. I'm thankful. Thankfulness empowers the future by focusing on the positives of the past and the present. Yeah, I may be down, but I ain't out. When I fall, I shall arise. I'm getting back up. You know how I know I'm getting back up? Because I got back up before. That last situation didn't keep me down. This situation ain't going to keep me down. That last trouble and struggle that I went through didn't do anything but make me stronger. Guess what? This thing ain't going to do anything but make me stronger. So, Lord, I thank you for it. I thank you that I'm going through this. I thank you that I'm dealing with this situation because I know the outcome. Now I can live a life, a gratuitous life that says, thank you, God. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. The reason why it is so important is because it does so much for me and it does so much of the influence I have on other people. And I can shine as light in a dark world by simply being thankful. Thankful. So, got some homework for next week. How many like homework? Here's the homework for next week. Are you ready? Between now and next week, we're going to start practice. We're going to practice a little bit of thanks. And this is what we're going to do. You need to come up with 2 to 3 people to give thank you cards to. 2 to 3 people. Now, here's the great part. It's not going to cost you a dime. Church has already purchased a bunch of thank you cards. They're on their way. They're going to be here. We're going to have a bunch of thank you cards. So, and they're going to have envelopes. We're even going to have envelopes. Now, I ain't going to lick the envelope and put it together for you. If you give an address and give you, the church will even pay the postage. But there's some caveats, all right? There's a couple disclaimers. There's a couple rules you got to follow if you're going to participate. And we want everybody to participate. We don't want to just talk about being thankful. We want to be thankful. And you're 2 to 3 people. Now, the person cannot be a family member or a member of this assembly. Because if you give it to somebody in church, they're going to know why you gave it to you. Because Pastor told us that's what we need to do. No. Nobody in this assembly and nobody in your family. Your family expects you to be thankful for them, whether they're mean, rotten, or not. That's just expectation of family. So you got 2 to 3 people. Can't be family. They can't be a member of this assembly. And what I want you to do between now and next week, I want you to think of 2 to 3 people that you can sit down and write a thank you card to. Something as simple as, I thank you for your friendship. I thank you for the times I could confide in you. I think just something to say thank you. To say thanks, to have an attitude of gratitude towards someone that God has placed in your life, someone that maybe has mentored you, someone who maybe who's helped you through a hard time, and you reflect on that, and you You will never know how much it means or how much it will mean to that person to get a simple thank you card from you, something that expresses your thanks about their involvement in your life. I wouldn't ask you to do it if I'm not going to do it myself. I've already been thinking of people that I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write a thank you card for this, and they're going to get it right before Thanksgiving. And I'm going to say, it's just a small way that I'm going to say thanks. Thank you. Thank you for being in my life. So, between now and next week, you can stand up. I'm almost done. See? A couple minutes over. Between now and next week, I'll have the stamps here. Now, I'm only going to give you a stamp if you have an envelope with an address on it. Because you ain't just taking postage. So, I'm just going to head that off at the pass. You can email. Well, you can email it. That would work, too. Yeah. Email would work. Now, I would say this. It's a little more personal to receive an actual card or handwritten note. But an email's not bad. If that's the only thing you got is an email address, maybe it's a friend from, or a Facebook message. Something that's saying, but at least, okay, here's the exception I'll make. If you're going to do an email or a Facebook message, that's fine. Then you only have to do two people. All right? I said two to three people, but three people. Well, I don't want to get it complicated. Just do it. Just be thankful in some way. A handwritten note card. If you want to do a handwritten note card that says thank you, we'll have the envelopes and the thank you cards, and we'll even provide the postage if you have the address, and we'll put it in the mail for you. Only thing you got to do between this week and next week is come up with two to three people that you want to sit down and express some thanks. And then we're going to get these expressions of thanks to them before Thanksgiving as a way of saying thank you. Lord Jesus, we love you. We pray, God, that this study helps us, God, revisit the subject of being thankful, God. We have so much to be thankful for. And we know, God, from a spiritual standpoint as Bible believers, God, the greatest thing to be thankful for is the salvation, God, that you provided through your blood. And we thank you for that, Lord. But as lights in this world shine, those who would endeavor to shine in darkness, God, we need to be people who are thankful, God. In everything, give thanks, Lord. That is your will. We believe and trust in your will to be performed in our lives. And so, Lord, we don't want to just be hearers of your word. We want to be doers, Lord. So I pray that between now and next week, God, people would begin to think and focus upon those that they can reach out to and give an expression of thanks via mail or email or Facebook message or some way, God, they could reach out to some people and simply say thank you. Lord, we love you. We praise you, God. We honor you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. And Lord, certainly we say thanks for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You may go in Jesus' name.